Welcome, everyone, to episode 17 of the All Access USL podcast. It has been about 10 days since the last episode, so a bit in between. I'm still working on the next History of episode, so that should be out soon, and it's a surprise, so can't say anything about that there, but it will definitely be a real interesting one. I know we just did the Charleston Battery, and they are one of the oldest clubs in the league, I believe. So it'll be hard to top that, but I think we're going to get at least close. So make sure to look out for that new History of episode. Should be out this week. But there has been a lot of stuff going on, managerial stuff going on. We have had Hartford Athletic announce a new manager. He will begin September 1st. And then we have a manager merry-go-round going around between pretty much Oakland and Phoenix. And then Tulsa should announce their new manager soon as well. But we'll start off with Oakland. They have Juan Aguirre leave in favor of Phoenix Rising. I don't know how much I like that for Phoenix. He is very accustomed to Phoenix. He was an assistant manager there before he came over to Oakland. But he only left Oakland in ninth place, and I think Oakland have a very good roster. They have a very prolific attacking core. Goalkeeper wise, they're decent. I like Paul Blanchett. I like what they have going on there. Midfield wise and defensive wise, they could use a little work, but who can use a little work in their side other than maybe San Antonio and Louisville? So I like Oakland, and I think he was underachieving a little bit there. So I think that definitely says something, and he didn't do fantastic in his first game against El Paso. We'll get to that, but don't know how much I believe Juan Garrett was the right man there. As well, there was a little bit of controversy as Phoenix seemingly came in and spoke to him, not really illegally, but they shouldn't have. So they had to agree some compensation to Oakland. Oakland didn't really take to it kindly, though. But Juan Garrett wanted the return to Phoenix in the managerial role, and he got it. So he's there. We'll see how he does. They have RGV next, and we'll get to that as well. But Juan Guerra has a new home back at Phoenix. Definitely something to look forward to for the rest of the season as Phoenix try to get into the playoffs. I don't think they will, though. I think I'm just going to put that out there. I don't think they will. Based off of everything I've just said, I think you guys could see that coming. But I think it's just too much of an ask for Phoenix. I don't think they'll get there next season either. I think that's too much of a hard, overhaul. I think it's much more than just the manager. I think player-wise, they're going to need to figure something out and get just some more harmony among the ranks because it's clearly not there right now. So I think that next season will be difficult as well. But after that, I think if they can get next season right, I think they'll be back to where they were. So Phoenix sign Juan Guerra from Oakland as their new manager. Hartford also on the managerial hiring train. They sign Tab Ramos, who was recently of the Houston Dynamo in MLS for two seasons, led them through 2020, that COVID year, did all right with them, and then 2021 was pretty abysmal. Over his whole tenure with Houston, over 57 games, only the 10 wins, 21 draws and 26 losses, had about a 17.5% win percentage, which is not great. Goal scoring wise, in 57 games, 66 goals for, not the worst, but defensively 94 goals conceded. That could be a bit of a worry, especially for a Hartford side who have not been great defensively. Pretty much, I would say in the whole time that they've been in the league, their leaky defense has been a little worrisome. Udall in goal has been their savior in plenty of games this year, but we'll see how it goes. I think the defensive woes will stay for the season, but I think Tab Ramos will be able to adapt more to this league than he did the MLS. I think he was a bit out of his depth there. I think here with Hartford, it'll be a hard ask, but I think he'll get it right. Tactically, probably play a 4-3-3 or 4-2-3-1. I think that's what he's most accustomed with. And I think playing in MLS, that's what you get most accustomed with, those two formations. So I think that's what he goes for. And I think offensively, he'll be able to get more out of his players at Hartford, which they honestly don't have much problem with. But I think Tab being there will just help that more. And I also think Tab being there will get more pull for players to join the club. He is a big name, a U.S. legend, mind you. So I don't see why he wouldn't have better pull, and I think that'll help Hartford in the long run. They do have decent players like Obregon Jr., Sadie, Dolly. They've got great players that they've been able to bring in from, say, overseas or from the Caribbean or just from bringing them down from MLS. But in general, I think they'll be able to do even more with a Tab at the helm. So two managers. So Oakland now looking for a manager as well. We'll see how that goes. I believe they have named someone interim for the rest of the season, and then we'll announce someone during the remainder of this season who will start next year. And then obviously, like I said, Tulsa, I believe, are also set to announce someone that will either start soon and finish out the season, or will start at the end of next season with Ricketts finishing out the season. But we will see how that goes. I'm not too sure about Tulsa's situation managerially. So that is the manager merry-go-round. Very interesting stuff. But on top of that, we also have our first team to clinch the playoffs and three teams eliminated from playoff contention. San Antonio are the first team to clinch the playoffs. They are first in the West, so seems pretty obvious. They have been on top of it all year. They did just recently lose to Indy 1-0, though. But I think that's just a little blip. They will be up and ready for the playoffs. I think soon I'll do a playoff, how I think teams will do in the playoff, what teams I think by the end of the season won't be in there, because we still have about 9 to 7 games left for most teams, or 9 to 6 games left for some teams who are on 28 played. So I think in the next episode, I will do a kind of run through of teams I don't think will make it, teams I think will make it, and how teams will do based off where they finish. So, but I think San Antonio will go for a deep run. They'll definitely be looking for, especially finishing West, they will have that pressure to do well. On top of San Antonio finishing gaining that playoff spot, clinching that playoff spot, I should say, we also say goodbye to the Charleston Battery, who just lost heavily to Detroit, which sealed their fate. Atlanta United 2 and New York Red Bulls 2 all eliminated from playoff contention. All of these sides have been increasingly poor this year. I think Atlanta United 2 and New York Red Bulls 2 you can see coming, but Charleston, I had high hopes for them. Revisiting my predictions, I'll have to go back and revisit my predictions for sure, but I'm pretty sure I said Charleston would be in the playoffs. I think I said defensively they would still have problems, but I think I said that offensively they would be able to pick up that slack. Obviously not. Offensively, they've been okay, but defensively, they have been awful this year. So it's almost something I think you could see coming, but they've been a massive disappointment based off of the moves that they made. Even though they did send Kalistra, I believe, to Phoenix, they brought in a lot of good replacements, I felt, but they just weren't able to get it done. Atlanta United 2 and New York Red Bulls 2, like I said, I don't feel is that crazy purely because of the nature of this season. I think it was more of just getting players play time more so than results, and they're both leaving at the end of the season for MLS Next Pro. Obviously, Loudon, the only team not doing so, and RGV. RGV are not doing that as well, but they're not as close as of an affiliate to MLS as these sides are. So, but yep, LA Nana 2 and New York Rebels 2 are out. Not much to say there. They have their prospects that will definitely be missed, but I think it's for the best that they are headed out of here, because neither of them, New York Rebels, Atlanta United 2 have not made the playoffs in their USL Championship history. New York Rebels 2 were very good a couple seasons ago, but have fallen off massively as the league has grown and taken off without them. So it'll be definitely hard to see them go, but I think it's for the best. So yep, Charleston, Atlanta United 2, and New York Rebels 2 out of the playoffs, and San Antonio into the playoffs. With that, we are going to take a quick break, and when we get back, we are going to be doing some game reviews from this past match week. All right, and we are back from that little break. This week definitely brought some of the, I believe, most interesting results of the season. And we're going to start off with Las Vegas versus RGV. Mainly because in the last episode, I talked a lot of shit on RGV. Because I thought they were one of the lost causes of the league. I didn't see where they were going. I didn't really see much in Wilmer Cabrera. But fair play, he has proven me wrong. They went to Las Vegas. They went to Cashman Field. And they won 5-0. Now, granted, Las Vegas are not the best team, but full of props to RGV. They dominated this game with a Jonas Fjellberg brace, goals from Ricky Ruiz, Eric Pimentel, and Christian Pinzon as well, giving them all five. Las Vegas did have Lara sent off in the 14th minute. That definitely didn't help their cause, but RGV absolutely ran away with this game. They dominated possession-wise. And obviously, I don't really feel like they're much of a possession team because they don't really get those opportunities based off the players that they have and who Wilmer Cabrera is. But 58% possession, they were 23-4 on shots. Defensively, they were incredible. And offensively, they were incredible. They just ran Las Vegas off the park all night. I believe RGV only had one interception as well. That's how little Las Vegas were on the attack or just in RGV's half in general. The pass accuracy, the shot accuracy, the corners, the cross accuracy, everything was in RGV's favor. It was really a night to forget for Las Vegas. And more something to build for RGV now. They moved up to 10th. They were bottom before this game. I believe it's Orange County or Monterey Bay who have now moved back to bottom. But yeah, RGV moving up, even jumping over Phoenix now, is pretty insane based off of what I thought they were capable of and what they have been doing this season. This feels, I'm not going to jump too far forward and say this is a revival. I think this could be just a little one-off thing. I think they easily could and probably will go back to their ways. But this is definitely showing something that they're like still alive, still capable of great things. And we know that they're capable of great things. They made the playoffs last year, and I'm with pretty much this same side, but they've just fallen off incredibly hard this year. So where they go from here, I'm not sure. They have a very difficult game against Tampa Bay next, away from home at Al Lang, a very tough place to go and get points. But going to Cashman Field and getting this 5-0 win could spur them on. It's going to be a lot of travel from Las Vegas all the way to Tampa. Obviously, they'll go back to Texas first. So from Las Vegas to Texas to Tampa, it's going to be a lot of an ask. I don't see them winning this game personally, but I mean, crazier things have happened. And RGV are clearly kicking, and this could be some big motivation to finish off the season. They are not eliminated from the playoffs yet. They're actually pretty close. They're about five to 7 points off, I believe, of the playoffs. So writing them off should be the last thing I do. But I don't think they're going to be able to do it. Or no, Las Vegas have Tampa Bay away next. My bad. RGV have Phoenix away next. So they'll be going to Phoenix. So actually not that bad of travel there. And a very... that just flips everything around. Now RGV going to a Phoenix side with Juan Guerra up top. Or as the new manager, yes. But like I said, I don't have much faith in Juan Guerra. Or... Juan Guerra and the side right now. Juan Guerra could be a decent manager, but I think him mixed with this Phoenix team right now is not great, and he's going to need that time. And I think RGV actually probably could walk away with a win here, especially after that showing. Las Vegas, though, have Tampa Bay away next. Based off this performance and going to Tampa at Al Lang, I think this calls for another big loss, almost, especially after what we just saw. I would almost say like a 6-1 loss here for Las Vegas, based off of how they are defensively, losing Lara as well, and what Tampa Bay just did to Orange County. And Orange County have actually been better defensively down the stretch this season. So I think they'll just be able to open up Las Vegas that much easier. And I think it's going to be another tough match day for the men from the City of Lights. So big ups to RGV. They are picking it up. We could very much see them close in on 8th or 9th soon. Las Vegas, it seems like we're going to see them slip down the table. They are in 7th right now, but it seems like that could be no more very soon. So we'll have to watch how that goes. We also have Oakland winning at home. They had so Oakland had two games this week. They won away against San Diego, and they lost away to Sacramento. And I think we saw the two sides of what Oakland really are. Oakland are a very they're a very methodical team, and they show that when they play against teams who don't have a low block. Sacramento had a low block, and Oakland could not break that down for the life of themselves. They lose 1-0, very, very little offensive presence. But against San Diego, who played a five-man midfield, had that high midfield line, no low block, just the three defenders back there, they were able to score three goals fairly easily. So I think if Oakland were just able to be a bit more patient in their buildup, not get frustrated when they have to come up against that low block. It is five men, so it's almost like playing a five at the back, but just a bit more compact. It can be hard, but Oakland just need to bunker down, be patient, and break it down. They would be a lot better if they could do that. So, tough times for Oakland. They're currently ninth, like I said, with Juan Guerra out. I mean, it's tough to write off teams who are able to go to San Diego and get 3 points and then head to Sacramento. Sacramento are also good and then barely lose 1-0. But, I mean, Oakland have showed their glimpses this year of being good, but they've also shown their glimpses of being a very, I'm going to say, clueless and idealist side. And I think that's what we saw against Sacramento when they had to break something down and they weren't able to do it within like the first 15 to 20 minutes. So I think RGV at this rate have more of a chance of making the playoffs than Oakland do. San Diego, after that loss, remains second in the West. Sacramento now fourth, and they are into a home playoff spot now. This season, I was a bit iffy on where I thought they would be, but I think they've done very, very well based off of how they started and the run of games that they've had. So for them to have a home playoff spot, that would be fantastic. They didn't make the playoffs last year, I believe. Yeah, they didn't make the playoffs last year. And the fact that we'll get to see a home game in Sacramento again, or we have the possibility at least, is fantastic. So I'm very, very excited for that. Next up, this is the last of the in-depth ones. We have El Paso beating Phoenix 3-1 in Guerra's first game with Phoenix, and Detroit dismantling Charleston 3-0. That gives Detroit about an 8-point cushion over Tulsa. Detroit, we're falling back a little bit, and I think in a first year for an expansion team, I think that's a bit expected, where like we see teams start off poorly and then they find their form. They're like, oh yeah, this is our identity, and then they go for it. Monterey Bay had that for a little bit. They're not exactly there anymore. They've kind of lost it a little bit, so, which is fine. Monterey Bay are still a very capable team, but you know, they have a lot of work to do. We saw that with Oakland last year. I like to bring Oakland up a lot, but last year they were horrific for like the first half, two-thirds of the season. But after that, they found their identity. They made it through, finished seventh, got through the first round, unfortunately went out against Orange County in the second round. But I think that's what we're starting to see with Detroit now. But they started off very good, and then they kind of hit a wall where it's like, you know, bit of adversity, mid-season, starting to pile up on them. A lot of fatigue, maybe a little injuries. They're not exactly sure what to do, but I think against Charleston, they really showed up and showed out and showed that they do deserve to be a playoff team this year. El Paso kind of hitting that same wall. They were very bad to start off the year. Lost, I believe, their opening five. Then they were incredible, like almost unbeatable. Ran up the table, and then they hit a bit of a wall again. And now it seems like they're starting to pick up results again with their win over Phoenix. They jump Las Vegas from 7th to 6th, having a better cushion over 8th and 9th as well. 8th being LA Galaxy 2 and 9th being Oakland. So I think El Paso are a pretty good, I think 6th and up in the West would be a pretty good lock for the playoffs. I think it's just between 7th, 8th, and 9th who finishes there. So yeah, we will definitely have to see how that plays off. Very interesting stuff going on in the playoff races, like the 7th, 8th, and 9th playoff races, because Tulsa are very much still in it. 8 points off with about 7 games to go. Very much still in it, more so than they were a couple weeks ago. So definitely a lot to look forward to in these next couple of weeks. And then some quick fire results. We have Tampa Bay 3, Orange County 1. Tampa Bay taking down an Orange County side who have been down for most of the year. Pretty straightforward win. Tampa Bay currently 3rd in the East. Orange County now, I believe, bottom of the West once again. If not them, then it's Monterey Bay. Tulsa 1, Hartford 2. That was a Wednesday game. Very hard loss because Hartford are right below Tulsa. Hartford are, and when I say right below, they're like, I believe Hartford are about at least 8 or 9 points off of Tulsa. It might be more like 7, actually. But they're, Hartford are still a ways away. But Tulsa should be putting this game away if they still want dreams of playoff soccer in this as the season comes to an end. And they just couldn't get the job done. And I think that's what splits apart them and Detroit. Detroit have been able to get it done in times where they need to. Tulsa haven't. Like, Detroit win games that they should. Tulsa really don't. Tulsa did this past weekend beat Loudoun United 2-1. Good points on the board. They matched the win of Detroit, but I think it's almost too little too late. Even though it's that 8 points, I have more faith that Detroit will get the wins where they need to over Tulsa. So I think it's going to be a bit of a lost cause for Tulsa heading into the rest of the season. Indy beat San Antonio 1-0. Big win for Indy. They are pretty much out of the playoff race. They're not mathematically out of it, but I think they showed some great just play in general here. Juan David Tejada was fantastic in this game specifically. So San Antonio, not much to worry about, but a good little energy boost for Indy, I think, heading into the finer end of the season, I guess. Miami beating Louisville. I think we really started to see Miami show up these last couple of games. This is a fantastic win, shutting out the top team in the East, the top offensive team in the East as well. And kind of, they are now 6th in the playoff race. So a couple weeks ago, it felt like, you know, they might even have opportunities to fall out if Tulsa could get their shit together. Tulsa haven't, and Miami have only grown. After next season, I'm not exactly sure of Miami's status in the USL, which sucks because they have been a very meaningful and contributive team to the league, and I've loved their time here. But with Inter Miami down the road and Inter Miami getting a stadium soon closer to Miami, I think it's going to be hard for the Miami FC to just continue to thrive. So we'll see if they get relocated, maybe kind of like Austin have. I believe they're going somewhere in Fort Worth. But Miami, in the time that they still have in this league, have right now been growing, getting better. And I'm very pleased for their fans who do show up and give their full support. And their players who have worked hard these past couple of games to put up the results. Atlanta United 1, Pittsburgh 2. Pittsburgh and Birmingham fighting for that last home playoff spot is in a very interesting race. Pittsburgh are now 3 points behind Birmingham, but they have a game in hand. I believe Birmingham have a better goal differential, so Birmingham will still be ahead of Pittsburgh. But a good win for a Pittsburgh side who at times this season have not been great, but they get the result here that they need. Atlanta United 2 show up, get a decent goal, but you know, don't expect them to really get anything from this game. So not much to say there about Atlanta United 2. Colorado Springs getting that 1-0 win over New Mexico United in a very, very big playoff clash. I think Colorado Springs did very well at some points this year. They have not been great defensively. They didn't really show their offensive prowess this year or in this game, but they get the win. New Mexico United will be disappointed because their past couple of games have not been fantastic, and they really need to get into high gear if they want to be ready for the playoffs when they come. Monterey Bay lose 2-0 at home against Los Angeles Galaxy 2. I think that all but sums up Monterey Bay's season. Once you think they have it figured out, they come in a game which they seemingly should and could win, even though LA Galaxy are much higher in the table than them, and they lose. So I think that kind of seals Monterey Bay's fate, even though it's not mathematically out of the question yet. They're only about 10 points back. I don't think they're going to be able to make up that ground. LA Galaxy 2 have been good for some instances this season, especially this game. They were decent. Playoff-wise, I wouldn't say no that they couldn't jump Las Vegas, but I would genuinely... I don't know who I put. That's where this little section in the next episode where I do a playoff, like, seven games left, who do I think will make it and fall out, and how do I think it will go? I think that's where this more comes into play, because I'm not really sure if I think LA Galaxy 2 are capable of it, or if they will fall off a bit by the end of the season. Based off of their schedule, we'll have to see. And last up, we have Birmingham dropping New York Red Bulls 2, which was tonight. Very clean win for Birmingham. Pushes them up into fourth. So pretty straightforward stuff for Birmingham. New York Red Bulls 2. Now, again, they are bottom of the table. And Charleston, I should say, are actually now 12th. So after being bottom for a majority of the season, they have jumped up to 12th, which is still very bad, but better than worst in the East. So, yeah. So good stuff from Birmingham, and pretty stuff you'd expect from New York Red Bulls too. So with that, we are going to take one more break. And after that break, we are going to come back and we are going to talk about the Wednesday games coming up. Alrighty. And we are back for our final section. We are going to preview the games for this Wednesday. I believe this Wednesday is October. I'm kind of lost. But we have five games on the docket. We have ninth in the East, Indy 11, versus first in the East, Louisville City FC, to start our Wednesday showcase. Louisville are the, on points, second best team in the league. And I think they show that. They're a bit, some games, they're just not quite there. But every other game, they're on top of their shit. And I think against Miami was one of those, not quite there. But I think this game is going to be on top of their shit. And I think it's because Indy are going to let them do that. Indy are capable of shutting down games mainly through the midfield. Defensively, they're not fantastic. But through the midfield, they can control games. And they've gotten the pieces this season to do that. But I think they're just going to let Louisville walk in and take the points. Because Louisville are capable of doing that with the attack that they have. And a game changer in someone like Brian Ombi, who has come this season and really shown up more than he has previously. He's been very good in previous seasons, but this year he's really taken his opportunities by the scruff of the neck. And I think Louisville are just going to walk in, not fairly easily. Indy will put up a fight. They're very much capable of a fight, but they fall way too easily. They throw punches, but they fall way too easily. So I think Louisville will come in. I think we'll see a 2-0 win for Louisville. And another thing that Indy are not great at is being able to be clinical. They have players who can finish, but they don't have that one player who in the like tight angles or just breakaways is able to find that finish 90 to 95% of the time. They don't have that guy. So until they get that guy, they're going to be lingering around probably 8th or 9th. I think next season they'll probably be able to find that guy. I think they thought they had that person in Nicky Law somewhat. He's more of a facilitator, more of a creator. So obviously that didn't work out exactly how they thought they would. So they traded him for Tejada. Tejada has been better, in my opinion, than Law was for Indy. So I think they're headed in the right direction. But I think for right now, this is going to be another tough loss for Indy against Louisville. The second game on Wednesday, we have 14th in the East, New York Red Bulls 2. Against 10th in the East, Hartford Athletic. In New York Red Bulls 2's last home game, they lost 3-0 against the Charleston Battery, and Hartford are a much better team. Even though it's only by two places, I would say Hartford are a much better team than Charleston. And Hartford recently won against Tulsa away from home. So if that says anything, then Hartford should easily win this game. Red Bulls 2 are very easy to break down defensively. I think that's pretty clear. Hartford have their issues going forward, but I think that doesn't really matter when Red Bulls 2 kind of open themselves up for you. So I think anything other than a win would be very disappointing for Hartford. So pretty straightforward. I think Hartford will get this one 3-1. Red Bulls 2 have been capable of scoring at times. Jordan Adebayo-Smith, they did lose Jeremy Raffanello. They have good attacking players, but defensively, midfield-wise, not good pretty much at all. I do like Nikita Politis in goal though. He has really shown up given the opportunity this season. So good for him. Our third game, we have 5th in the East, Pittsburgh Riverhounds against 12th in the East, Charleston Battery. Charleston coming off of that 3-0 home loss. Pittsburgh coming off of that 2-0 away win against Atlanta United 2. Again, I feel like this is another straightforward game. Pittsburgh, very good attacking-wise. They are a very... I feel like they're one of the more well-rounded teams in the league. Like, they're pretty much good in every position. They're not great in every position, but they're not, like, average or above average in every position. They're good in every position. And I think that's why they've had some struggles this year, because sometimes good isn't enough, but sometimes, most of the time, good is perfect. So Charleston, defensively, like I said earlier in this episode, have their issues, and I think that's going to show up again. They just do not close down much, and I think their fullbacks get high a bit too much and then just don't track back. And against Pittsburgh, that's going to be a real problem. Pittsburgh are a very good team at overloading fullbacks, and against fullbacks that aren't there all the time, it's going to be even easier. So I think Pittsburgh take this one 4-0, and this is leading to a very high-scoring Wednesday night. Fourth game on the docket, we have 2nd in the East, Memphis, against 11th in the East, Loudoun United. I think this one will be a bit more tamed down, mainly because Memphis are capable of scoring, but Loudoun are a very, very, what is the word I'm looking for? Stubborn defensive side. They may get outplayed, but like in most games, but defensively, they are hard to break down. And I think Memphis will find that same thing out in this game. I think Memphis will still take it 2-1 because Memphis are very good, and Loudoun do not have that ability to take control of a game even when their defense is standing on their head. But I think we'll still see that Loudoun are capable of good things in this game. And if they can find that attacking and midfield talent, then they could go somewhere next season. And our last game on the docket is 11th in the West, Phoenix, against 10th in the West, RGV. I think this is the biggest game of that night, mainly because of the playoff implications here. In all the other four games, we have teams either not in the playoffs at all, like New York Rebels 2 against Hartford, or it's a team pretty much bound to make the playoffs against a team who has pretty much no hope of making the playoffs. Here, though, I think both teams have a shot. Phoenix, less so than RGV, but definitely still there. But I think Phoenix's issues are going to come into play once again. And Juan Guerra, like I said, won't be able to save this season with the games that they have left. So I think RGV take this one 2-1 as well. And they continue that fight for a possible playoff berth. If they make it, it'll be one of the best comebacks we've ever seen. Nothing so far tops what I saw from Oakland last year, but it'd be pretty close. RGV going from bottom with about 8 games left to playoffs, possibly even 6th or 5th if they can get it right, would be incredible. But I think that would be a bit too much to ask at this point. But I do think RGV will get the win here. So very high scoring Wednesday. With that, though, that finishes off our Wednesday games, and that finishes off today's episode. So thank you guys so much for continuing to support the podcast. Episode 17 has come around super quick. Next up will be most likely another History of episode, and then later this week we should have episode 18 of the All Access USL podcast. So again, thank you guys so much for listening, and I will see you guys for those two episodes soon.